Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll just briefly review what we discussed last class. So we did 8 to 12, right? Yeah, so this section is, Krishna is talking about different levels of bhakti, how we can approach Krishna. So can somebody summarize the whole, we made a chart, right? Can somebody summarize or give some points which you remember? Or some striking points which you thought of during the week or...
Basically, which verses talks about the first ladder, the first step is a charity, which is on the 11th. Verse, and then Jnana Yoga, 12th, and then it goes up, where it starts meditation. And then... giving up results to Krishna, and then sadhana bhakti, and then meditation
on Krishna,
absorption in Krishna,
fully absorption in Krishna. So eighth verse is basically love for the Lord. So these verses, see, so basically if you see the way Krishna talks about, he talks about the highest thing, and he says we cannot do this, at least do this, we cannot do this. So he's giving us a gradual path. So Prabhupada talks about there is a direct path and indirect path. Direct path is the taking up sadhana bhakti and coming to prema bhakti in the verse number 8. But the indirect path is through jnana and meditation, super soul, and then gradually coming to, finally coming again to Krishna. So if the direct path is already given and acceptable, why not take that? So that's the point we were discussing. Any other points anybody remembers?
From
12.8 you were saying? Yeah, 8 to 12, any point, any verse, some points which you remember. So this is not four regulative principles. This is sadhana bhakti, which includes everything. Yeah, four regulative principles and all this, fasting on Ekadashi day, fasting on festival days, everything, the whole process which Prabhupada has given. Whatever the rules we follow. Everything if we follow, then gradually we develop a desire. Okay, one day I want to attain that love for Krishna. That desire. They say, right? You desire. If you don't have desire, at least have a desire to have a desire. If you don't have that also, at least have a desire to have a desire to have a desire, like that, you can just go on like the however far we are. We can add like that. So any other points? Okay? Yeah. Okay, so let's do this. This section is quite a bit, but it's very, very... The whole theme is, it's just one theme, so we thought we'll try to cover this. So this section 13 to 20, Krishna talks about symptoms of pure devotees or qualities that endear one to Krishna. Now what qualities should we possess by which we can become dear to Krishna? Krishna himself tells what qualities he likes. That's very, easy. We don't have to speculate, I will do this so that it is pleasing to Krishna. I will do this. We'll someday say, okay, Krishna likes to eat pizza now. Okay, today I'll make pizza. Like that, right? We guess what Krishna wants, like that. It's, instead of that, Krishna directly tells patram pushpam palam toyam, right? Whatever leaf you give. Or he also tells about the qualities. The same thing, similar things will be repeating in many 12th chapter and 16th chapter also is there. And somewhere else also, I missed. Three places, similar qualities are being reiterated. Very, very sweet section. So we will see, Prabhupada defines in the purport each of these qualities. We will try to read as most of it and try to discuss practically, how we can implement or, how we can adjust or where we are at actually. Okay, so text number 13 to 14, two verses in same verse. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirankara samadukka sukha kshami santushta satatam yogi yatatma drudha nishchaya mayarpita manobuddhi yomad bhakta same priya. So if you see, this phrase keeps repeating. or you know, Same Priya is devotee to me. Anybody read the verses before coming? Nobody read? Oh. Okay. One who is generally novel, right? You read ahead. Right? Generally read ahead. You directly go to last few pages and read the climax verse there. Okay. Nobody is so curious about the climax of Krishna is giving. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. See, so many qualities. Totally, I think, 35 qualities he describes in all these verses together. Everything is all qualities only from now on.
From 13 onwards?
Yes, 13 to 20 is all, he's going to tell all the qualities which he likes in to see in devotees.
Basically, these are the qualities of devotees.
Yes, we should try to cultivate. Yeah. So, if you like to see, who is not envious, right, that's one quality, and friend to all living entities. So, you can divide all these phrases and, you know, mark numbers if you want to know. So we'll jump to the purport where Prabhupada elaborates on each of these qualities, and we'll try to see what he says, and we'll try to, you know, share some points. Okay, we can read the purport. Pretty much full purports we'll try to read.
Coming again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed by any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds, so it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am getting all the punishment. I'm not getting all the punishment I am due. I'm just getting a little. But the mercy of Supreme Personality, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet,
and patient,
despite many distressful conditions.
We can pause there. So this whole first section, Srila Prabhupada is elaborating only one quality, which is he is never disturbed in any circumstances. So that's the quality he is elaborating and giving so many, you know, points, nice points for us to think about. Because this is a very, very crucial thing which devotees encounter. Now, what should be the consciousness of a devotee when he faces reversals? What should be the consciousness of a devotee when he faces, you know, infamy or dishonor, things like that which are not palatable? You know, how do we accept it? Should we come to the material platform and see people as enemy and be vengeful and be you know, try to take revenge? Then we are in the material platform. So this platform or this prayer allows us to raise above this material platform. The prayer that tathenu kampam, this is a very beautiful verse Prabhu was trying to read. Tathenu kampam sumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag papurvir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayabak. So that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by Brahma. Often when this theme comes, this verse is quoted. So if you like to memorize verses, you can memorize this verse. So it says that a devotee who, even after going through so many tribulations and reversals, with folded palms, he prays to the Lord, saying, always with faithful heart, he prays to the Lord, saying, I deserve more, but you, by your kind mercy, have given me less. Please let me continue my service to you. If he does, that's the person becomes qualified to go back to spiritual world. So basically, what is the qualities which are manifesting in this verse is the attitude of gratitude, attitude of humility, that, you know, I am just a servant. Whatever you do to me, I accept it. It's not that when some situations happen, we start fighting with Krishna, right? No, I didn't deserve this. Now I'm already chanting 16 rounds. I did so much service to you. Now how dare you do this to me? We don't talk like this literally, but that's the mood we have when we have conversation, when we don't accept things in our life, this is what is we are doing actually. You know, why you gave me this husband, or you know, like so many things, right? So many things, so many ways we don't accept things in our life right now or things which are going to happen in future. Something or the other, if we don't accept fully, that means we think that, you know, we know better than the Lord what is good for us. And whatever Lord's arrangement, we don't want to accept it with a grateful heart. Right? So, all these are not Krishna conscious qualities or not favorable for advancement Krishna consciousness. So, this verse, you know, you should remember this theme, because maybe not now, but as you advance in Krishna consciousness, these things will happen. Things will happen which you don't expect. Like you want to do some service and suddenly somebody says, you know, take away the service. Something happens, somebody takes away the service. Then he's like, oh, I just want to serve Krishna. What is this happening? You know, why this happening? You don't understand what is this. But you have this attitude, you know, Krishna knows what is best for me. And whatever happens is just, I deserve this one. But I'm just getting a token. Like, you know, for example, some accident happens and somebody gets, his hand gets cut off. You can keep grumbling, you know, I did so much service, everything, why my hand got cut off? But according to destiny, maybe I'm supposed to die. But I just got my hand cut off. Krishna reduced my reaction because I had to face something because of whatever previous action I did. So he reduced it to this, just my hand getting cut off. We don't see the big picture. We don't see what all things I'm supposed to deserve and how it's being reduced for us. But this attitude with this prayer, and when we read the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and the pure devotees' prayers, we understand, you know, this is the prayer I should have. Then we can easily accept situations and make forward progress in Krishna consciousness. So that way, this devotee is never disturbed, right? Because he is always humble and grateful. He knows the Lord is doing the best. He is accepting that the Lord is the best well-wishing friend, and he is doing the best for him. Any points or any examples or any thoughts regarding this particular point you want to share? In your own life, you know, maybe having a proper attitude helped you versus in accepting things versus not. You know, something happened which you, for a long time, you're fighting, and then finally when you accepted, it was much better to deal with it like that. Something, just to dive this point more deeper.
Mother, before that I have a question. These things that you are sharing, these are in support of never disturbed?
Yes, yes.
Like by following these things, we
yes,
will never be disturbed.
Yes, yes.
To have lots of rules at home, like I don't want to touch anything. I want to be like pure and like before doing bath, I don't want to touch the kitchen item or cook something or anything like that. But because of the kids, I need to sometimes forcefully do that. But sometimes I will go. I will talk to Gornita and I will say, I can't do anything. I'm forceful. If you wish that, then. I will do it, and in that way I will talk to him, and then I feel like more calm. Mm. I was like too much disturbed, like, oh, I'm doing a very bad thing, which I'm not trained like that from my parents, so I was so much disturbed.
Mm.
After talking to them, I felt like, okay, whatever it is okay to do, then I will go with that.
Mm. Practically, you will do whatever is feasible. So you accept the situation, okay, this is how it's going to be with kids, it's going to be like this, so I accept the situation and move on. That's a very good example. Yeah. Any other points?
I struggled with Satvik, right, little bit. So after that I took a lot of guidance, and so after that I prayed to Krishna, so then finally I accepted something I am doing wrong. Krishna gave it perfect for me. So I need to adjust it that way. So now I'm a little bit calm and better.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, see, always point at something else. We cannot fix it. It's because it's out of beyond our control.
Mm.
But when we accept, it's my, you know, this is what it is for me. Then we can fix ourselves, our attitude, how to react in that situation. Yeah, it's a very good example. Yeah, very nice.
For me, Mataji, like when I was cooking in kitchen, and then Ditti Mataji joined. So
when? Oh, that time. Yeah.
So like. I was a little disturbed that I'm not able to freely move around the way I was doing it. And then washing, when there is a like a bowls and a plate will arrive, then she was washing. Like, I used to clean, but then she cleaned it. And then at some point I said, like, Mataji, I will clean. Like, and then I said, like, you keep leaving these food particles always.
Mm.
I told her that you are leaving food particles on the plates, which is not good, then let me wash it. And then immediately, right that moment, she showed me, Mataji, you just wash it, see? These food particles are still there. And then, that, the thing which I had this proud that I do much better than anybody else there, as to immediately showed by Krishna that you don't come with this attitude
mm.
here, you know. So like it was so eye-opening for me,
mm.
and I could have approached her in a very different gentle
mm.
way. There's always a very gentle manner versus a very like straightforward rude manner kind of say. And I loved that moment though. When she pointed it out, we laughed, but then I thanked her so much. That,
mm.
it was like, that was a beautiful moment actually.
Oh, very nice. Oh, very nice.
Instantly.
Uh-huh. Anything, Mataji? You want to share something?
Yeah, I used to cook for Krishna but we could not cook for Krishna anymore. Like, that disturbed me a lot for so many days. She cried.
Oh.
I was like crying in the temple because I, with that service only I went to Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a magic in the. I never used to cook like that before, but my kids started liking my food and everything, so with that only my Krishna consciousness started, and they took away.
Mm.
So I'm like still now also I feel bad, but it's okay.
Mm.
I'm cooking at home and serving my girl.
Mm.
I feel happy for that.
Mm, very nice. Okay. Any Mataji, you want to share something?
It's really like, a lot of expectations we have from
mm.
our kids. Also, like we feel that they're going to do this, they're going to do that or something, and they're sitting down for something else. And there you initially, you kind of feel that this is what you had in your mind for them.
Mm.
But then something else, they want to be something else, totally different field, different thing. Then you accept whatever is there.
Yeah, that's good.
Every step of the way,
yeah.
we feel this.
Yeah. It's this attitude of being a servant. If you start to becoming control, then controller, then you don't accept, right? You always fight and you want to change your destiny in so many ways and things like that. Anything else you want to share, both of you? Prabhuji?
I don't have a specific example, but it happens all the time just about. You know, there's something that you think doesn't go right. And then you stand back and you, first you get upset. And then I stand back and I think about it, and you know, you realize that this is life, and you also think of, you know, the Lord, and it puts things in a perspective. So I stand back and I calm down. So
very nice. Yeah.
You know, I accept it and I say, okay, then how do I address it, or what do I should I do, and you know, with the help of the Lord, then you move on.
Yeah, this very nice seminar Rompath Maharaj gave, actually in some place, you can look at in website if you want. Seminar is called Say Yes to Krishna. Say Yes to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So in different incidents, there are different things. Krishna wants to sometimes give us this chastisement, sometimes he wants to teach us this lesson, sometimes he wants to give us some reward. So many things he wants to give us. Every time you say yes, okay, I accept. So that's the theme of the whole seminar, and it's a very nice. I went deeper, and I don't know, I didn't listen, but it's a very good, it fits into this theme. So yeah, recently I also went through something, you know, when we start accepting it, the whole consciousness changes actually. Now we no longer become very peaceful. And we can practically think out, and we can think actually it need not be happening now. It can happen in long term, you know, it's okay. Whatever way Krishna arranges, it's fine. No, we'll have more room. Otherwise, we are so restricted. Okay, it has to happen this day. It has to happen like this. It has to happen like this. And we think, you know, like, and we go crazy. 1 minute it's going here and there, we could become crazy. So, you know, I also have this experience.
We should keep trying, Mataji. If it is not working, you know, we should accept the result, but we should we try to improve it? Definitely.
Yes, definitely. We should try. We should try, but we should not be, they say, you know, Maharaj always says, Rompath Maharaj, effort is in our department, results are in Krishna's department. So we should not have control about the results, when it's going to happen, what is going to happen. That one we should not be attached to. just do like Nishkama Karma Yoga, right? Do our duty, leave the results to Krishna. However, if he wants to arrange, he will arrange.
Once we start liking what we do, I mean, then we won't have worry about the result. It's
yeah.
a question of liking. But when we have hobbies, there are certain things we really like to do. There we will spend a lot of time and we don't even worry about the time. Only the things which I don't want to do, somebody is telling to do, then we say, oh, I don't want to do and all that. Right? Once we start
the creation, okay, very good.
But Mataji, I have a question. How to cultivate that acceptance? Means in nice weather means nice condition, I can easily accept. Let's say, for example, a kid is asking for candy and he didn't get it. He's crying. I said, okay, never mind. You will get another time. I am very cool. I am under control. But if situation is a little more heated up, then how to accept? Means how we can practice every day that we are cultivating the acceptance. Means what practices or what mood we should have. Means how to approach actually. Means right now, if I will tell my example based upon the different degree of situations, I spend that much time in that problem to come out from mentally. Let's say you like some, as you gave the example, if you like one specific service and suddenly some person says, don't do another. So unless until I start liking the another service, I have still that attachment that I am not doing my old service. So, but I want to minimize that time. Like as soon as we are switching, as you said, accept it. But how to cultivate means, I'm just still thinking.
Yeah.
Means what?
It's actually, a friend of mine, she sent one clip, like one of the ISKCON, I think, one devotee or something, he was saying some discourse, something. And he has a nice clip, and she sent it, it says, if you think you are in a problem, and yes or no, if you have a problem, if you don't have any problem, if you have no problem, then why worry?
Yeah.
If you have a problem, yes, and you can do something about it, then why worry? You are doing something about it. You cannot do anything about it, then you can't do anything about it. Why worry? It was very nice.
Yeah, so in all cases there is nothing to worry.
Nothing to worry.
Because worrying is just making our mind crazy and just causing us depression and things like that, you know.
So nice.
Very nice, yeah, it's a good point. So things are not in our control. Yeah, it's good. In our WhatsApp group you forward it. Yeah, so that's a good point, you know. So when the whole thing starts with the consciousness that, you know, I can control the situation, I can change the situation according. Maybe, you know, we may not do at office with our manager to manager, but we think I can do with my kid. That's the problem. But every minute Krishna is teaching us, you're not the controller. Even with the kid, he is teaching us. No, we, right? Yeah, we will not accept it. We think, oh, maybe outside with other Matajis when we do garland service, I cannot control. But with my kids, they're in my jurisdiction, I can control. No, that day also I cannot control. No, so that's what is the lesson. Ultimately, we have to learn that I'm just serving Krishna. Whichever situation, best I think I can serve him, I'll serve him. That's all. We'll come to that stage, then we accept everything and take
pre- I keep telling myself, I can't even control my mind, I'm trying to control other person's mind.
Yeah. So it all starts with, you know, everything starts with chanting. So, you know, the attitude we have with chanting, you know, how prayerful we are, how, you know, this thing, are, you know, I have so many conditionings, I have so much controlling mentality, you know, Krishna, please, at least, while chanting also, if we have this attitude, okay, let me chant, you know, counting and this like a core, then the whole consciousness will be like that. Today only I was listening, Radhanath Maharaj was telling, morning, first thing we do, get up in the morning, that's the consciousness we carry throughout the day. So he was talking about newspapers and generally materialists, they get up, what they do first thing is, you know, drink coffee and drink coffee on the bed and reading news. So read about this, this thing happened, that thing happened, that thing happened, that's what whole day they think about. So if we get up, nicely take bath and chant our rounds, focus our mind on Krishna, whole day, somehow or the other, we can remember Krishna. So it all starts with basic thing, you know, chanting, and by that the purification and the shelter Krishna gives in handling the situations, and it's a gradual advancement anyway. Initially it may take, you know, as you make advancement, you will notice. Same problem earlier you would have, you know, got stuck for many months. Maybe now it's just within 1 week you move on. later on it's just within a minute. Okay, service change, it doesn't matter, no? I just want, that's why we discussed one time, remember? I am attached to serving, not to the service.
Attitude of the service.
Yeah. We are attached to serving Krishna. That nobody can take us away. You know, if it's not cooking for Krishna, something else. See, she said already I'm cooking for Gauranita. We are not attached to service, particular service. We are attached to attitude of serving. That servant capacity, the service attitude, nobody can take us. Even we are dying, you know, we can always chant the holy name, hear the holy name. So many ways, right? Yeah, so that's the one. Okay, we'll move on. So next one, Krishna is talking about enemy, right? So Prabhupada, we can continue. A devotee?
Devotee is also
always
kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmam means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pain and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is freed from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress.
Okay, so in these two points, Prabhupada is talking about he is kind to everyone, even to enemy. So he doesn't think anybody as his enemy. He thinks everybody is servant of Krishna, and there he is getting his reactions according to what he deserves. Next one is Nirmama, means free from false ego, because he doesn't identify with the body. He doesn't think false ego comes because when we identify with the body. So that's one. Next one,
He is tolerant and he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty.
Therefore,
he is always joyful.
Yeah, so this is a very good point. You know, he is satisfied with whatever the Lord gives. Like for example, Radha Krishna Prabhu, right? He is a full-time brahmachari. He doesn't earn a living. But whenever he goes preaching, devotees are meant to give donations. Because, you know, that's how they... When the grihasthas give donations or contribute some money, they get purified. Their earning gets purified. But he doesn't come and ask, you give me this, it's not a beggar. But he goes and does service of teaching, and whatever Krishna provides through them, he accepts, and that's how he lives. Right? Of course, temple gives something. Of course, you know, then we have so many sannyasis, right? How are they being maintained? So like that. So whatever Krishna gives, they accept and they continue their journey. So he doesn't over-endeavor. Okay, now I want a big building, and this house is too small, now I want a big house, and for that I have to work so much. He doesn't do all these things, you know, it doesn't matter. That's why he's very happy, satisfied. Yeah. He is a
completely perfect mystic, because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master. And because his senses are controlled, he is determined.
Yeah, so this point Prabhupada is talking about self-controlled. So he's self-controlled because such a way that he only does what spiritual master orders him to do. That is the control he has. He doesn't do anything beyond that. Spiritual master asked me to stand 16 rounds and follow regulative principles and do certain service, and I'm going to do it. He says don't do bad things, okay, I'm not going to do this. By that, automatically there is control. Right? Because they're submitting to the dictation of superior authority. And because his senses are controlled, they are determined. He is determined. This is a very good point, you know. Now only I am noticing. So Prabhupada is making a statement here. So only when our senses are controlled, we can have determination in Krishna consciousness. So whenever we feel, we don't have determination. Right? Mm-hmm. Means we have to check back and see, you know, my senses are controlled. Or am I being pulled because of, you know, I like to eat. That's why I go outside. I like to watch. So that's why I watch movies. I like to, you know, taste, this is Vidas. Then I like to hear music, that's why I listen to Bollywood music. Like that. These are the ways the five senses are pulling, the horses are pulling in different directions. But if the senses are controlled in devotional service, then he can be determined. Okay, I just want to serve Krishna. That's a very good point.
I was thinking about this, like how I can increase my determination.
Yes. Try to control senses or engage senses in Krishna service. Yes, next point.
He is not swayed by false argument, because no one can lead him from fixed determination of the devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, and so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord.
Okay, so this point Prabhupada is talking about determined and also fixing the mind and intelligence on Krishna. So he has so much consciousness that, or rather he's aware that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so nobody can change. So Mayavadi cannot come and say, oh, impersonal Brahman is supreme. You know, even if he talks, this is Uttamadhikari, right? So he doesn't get disturbed, or he doesn't get, his faith doesn't get changed. That's Uttamadhikari. Yeah, so because of this, he focuses completely mind intelligence on the Supreme Lord. Continuing.
Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all these activities in full Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, so he is saying, and the point, another point Prabhupada is saying is, these are very, very rare qualities. But one can come to this stage by following the sadhana bhakti. The process we are already following will can help us come to this state. So there is nothing to be anxious, oh, I don't have this, I don't have this. Just by following strictly the process of devotional service, one day we can also develop these qualities by the mercy of the Lord. It's a very nice phrase, always I remember, Rompad Maharaj used to say that Lord like wants to, basically we come before the Lord, we are taking darshan of the Lord, but actually Lord is taking our darshan. That's the purpose, you know, we are being seen by the Lord. We go such a way that Lord glances his eyes on us, and then we get some mercy. That's why we go to temple, not like, okay, I want to check out now what dress Krishna is wearing. Again, that's the same enjoyment mentality. We're going there so Krishna can enjoy us. Okay, so that's difficult consciousness, different consciousness. So when the Lord sees us day by day, year by year, he wants to see us having, because he told these qualities are dear to me, he wants to see these qualities in us. He wants to see our humility, tolerance, mercy, you know, friendliness to other enemies also, you know, forgiving, all these qualities. So what he does is, because he wants to be pleased by seeing us, gradually he will decorate us with those qualities. So these qualities is not that, you know, okay, I will now, from now on I'm humble, I'm going to run and do, you know, cultivate humility. It's not our endeavor. It's the Lord's mercy that he decorates the devotee with those qualities such a way that he becomes attractive more to him and to other devotees automatically. When we see somebody more very having wonderful qualities, automatically everybody gets, like Harivilas Prabhu, right? He is expert in everything and he's so humble, he's so, you know, so many Vaishnava qualities. Automatically, the moment you see, you feel attracted like that. So that's the Lord's mercy upon the devotee. Okay.
So at this point, whatever pleases Krishna, I don't have any.
Yeah.
Every unpleasing thing I have.
Yeah, but the key is, because he told, the key for getting those qualities is sadhana bhakti. So if we are determined in our sadhana bhakti, we are on the way. It's just a matter of time. So all we have to do is, how I can chant better, how I can follow four regulative principles better, how I can every minute try to remember Krishna or connect everything to Krishna. That's all. Okay, text number 15.
So, one quick question. Which all other qualities can you list down? Or
which other?
Like never disturb one, you told.
Yeah, it's all there, purport, right? It's there, everything elaborated, right? It's not envious. If you read translation, mark one by one. See, not envious, and the second one, friend to all living entities, who does not think himself proprietor, free. Every phrase is one quality. You can divide it up, you know, nicely. Text number 15. Yasmano dvijate loko lokano dvijate chaya hasham shabayodvegar muktoya sachame priya. He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. See, this first phrase, no one is put into difficulty means this person will not put anybody in difficulty. And he is not disturbed by anybody. Similarly, somebody cannot disturb him. He is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, very dear. Okay, let's read the short purport.
Few of a devotee's qualifications are further being described. No one is put into difficulty, anxiety, fearfulness or dissatisfaction by such a devotee. Since a devotee is kind to everyone, he does not act in such a way as to put others into anxiety. At the same time, if others try to put a devotee into anxiety, he is not disturbed. It's by the grace of the Lord that he is so practiced that he is not disturbed by any outward disturbance. Actually, because a devotee is always engaged in, engrossed in Krishna consciousness and engaged in devotional service, such material circumstances cannot move him.
We can pause there. Yeah, so here in this section of the Bhagavad, Prabhupada is talking about these two qualities, that you know, he doesn't cause any difficulty to others, and he is also not disturbed by others' difficulties. So can we have all these qualities? How many times we put we
shouldn't cause anxiety in another living.
Exactly. See, such a high quality. Moment to moment we cause anxiety in others, you know, family members or you know, outside people, or when we do service, like you know, that friction, because she's also every day when he comes to service she thinks, you know, I have to face Angita. You also used to think, oh, I have to face Deepti, right? so much anxiety. Whole week you would be meditating, I want to do service, but you think again, I have to face this lady. So it's all anxiety we are creating for others, so much, right? But
it's a fault finding in others,
fault finding, controller mentality, so many things. If you reflect later, you can easily find the faults. That time you'll not be able to accept what mistakes you are making. You think, you know, I have best consciousness, best attitude serving Krishna.
Mataji, what you said is correct. At that time it's difficult, but if you actually take the time to spend,
yeah,
go back, think about it, try to look at it from the other person's first point of view, and, you know.
It makes better, yeah.
Yeah, Mataji had once said that, like, when you follow this regulative principle for a long time, you will always have some moment to reflect back before you react.
Yeah, instead of just, you know, acting whimsically, all what immediately instinct, Prabhu always says, not by instinct. Now, no, just think a moment and then act. Yeah.
I think ego triggers, I think, first.
Yes.
Because in that action.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, somebody was saying something?
Yeah.
No, okay. Yeah, then, so he is, at the same time, if somebody disturbs him, he is not worried. You know, he just want to care about Lord's service. Okay. And he just doesn't, because he's so, these last phrases are very crucial. Actually, because a devotee is always engrossed in Krishna consciousness and engaged in devotional service, such material circumstances cannot move him. So he just want to think always about how to best serve Krishna. That's all. Doesn't matter. This reminds me of a very nice statement Srila Prabhupada made once. Actually, there is no difficulty. This is a statement. He says, actually, there is no difficulty. If there is any difficulty, it is due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. So in any situation, so this statement is so powerful, it consumes any situation in the world you can encounter. It transcends everything, right? If you face death, or if you face a family issue, or if you face some tragic incident, everything you can handle if you can raise to the platform of Krishna consciousness, right? There is no problem. If there is a problem, that is your lack of Krishna consciousness. So if you see, this thing is not working, that is not working, this person I am not able to deal with, this person is not working, it's because we are not Krishna conscious enough to see that person as Krishna's servant and work with them. You see the point, right? That's what he's saying here. If we are Krishna conscious enough, then he will not find any difficulty. So we have to do is always try to improve our Krishna consciousness. Then things will become more and more easier. We will not have to struggle every minute with issues, basic issues all the time. No, I can imagine, now I can reflect back initial days of Krishna consciousness, how I was struggling with my mind and senses, and I have a strong desire to practice Krishna consciousness, but pulled back with, you know, all our attachments, and then so much anxiety and disturbed in the mind for every small thing. Such a, you know, state where you feel like internally itself you have so much disturbance. Forget about outside. You know, any moment you meet other person, obviously it's going to be friction, and again it's a fight, and you think about it and worry about it. So much time spent in all these issues. But now if I see, you know, I don't even actually deal with so many people. I deal most of the time with my kids. So, but at least I'm not spending time thinking about issues so much. You can say like that, you know. I'm doing something, hopefully, Krishna conscious. So, yeah, so things with advancement, things will get better. It's all about how we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And again, it comes back to the same thing. We make advancement based on how we diligently apply ourselves to the sadhana bhakti. Being pleased by that, Krishna will give us, raise us to the mode of goodness. Krishna will give us mercy through spiritual master and through devotees. Whatever is needed, Krishna will give. Like Radhakrishna Prabhu recently was talking and he was telling, because I was telling that I was anxious about something, he always keeps telling me one thing. Every time he says, don't worry, don't worry. Every time he says, because he knows I am like a worry bee, keeps worrying all the time. So then I said, Prabhu, why you tell, one time I asked him, you know, Prabhu, why always you tell me not, don't worry? You know, I'm not really worrying like that. And see, I'm so happy, I'm happy doing my services, everything. You know, because you're already in that state, you don't know what you're doing. Outside person can tell you, you know, that you're worrying so much. I was like, oh, wow. See, because we're used to our mentality, right? The habits and our nature. We think it's normal, this normal, but actually, you know, we are doing so many things. So this last time also he was telling, don't worry about, you know, this is what you want to happen, this is what is going to happen, this is what is going to happen. Just be happy studying. I'm studying for Bhakti Vaibhav, writing notes and all. He just made one statement. Just be happy studying. No, he's saying be in the present basically. Your present thing is you're studying, you're writing some homeworks. Do that and be happy doing that. Means I'm already happy, but you know, by worrying purposefully I'm removing that happiness. Or I'm like purposely creating some distress. So he said, don't worry about that, just be happy studying. I was like, wow, very nice.
Mataji, at work at least, many times you'll by the nature of work, you know, you'll get a goal that's aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a situation of conflict, you know, they call it healthy tension and all that. I mean, it's tension anyway. And then when you have tension, it's not always, you know, then the challenge is to, then you have, you know, conflicts.
Hmm.
And then it's a challenge to, you know, do work completely in Krishna consciousness, right? Because you are already in a conflict. The conflict is created by the nature, I mean, it's created by the nature of, you know, maybe a very aggressive goal or something. So it just...
Then when we accept it, that everything is coming from Him, everything, I am not doing it, then that I have to go and solve that problem, that will come down a little bit.
Mm.
I do whatever I can in
yes,
the situation,
exactly.
And I they may be asking that result, okay, you got to do this much, but I do my best whatever it is, because that I have control only on my work, right? I don't have any control on how much it's going to
exactly. Yeah, especially as we grow like higher levels, right? They have to show this much profit and all those things, you know, this crazy goals they have, you know, metrics. Yeah, exactly. Those things are very, very, you know, basically they are making you promise on the results instead of taking you promise on the effort. That's completely opposite to Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, how can you promise I'm going to get these results? Because they are saying if you have goal on, if you have eye on the goal, those results, so you'll make that effort necessary to do that. But they are not happy just with the effort. They also want the results.
The
thinking
results.
As if you are the doer of the results.
And for personal thing, we get worried because if that is not shown, something will happen to my job. Something, I will be kind of humiliated in front of everyone or something. Then my ego wants to say, okay, I did this, I achieved this. So when I'm ready to accept whatever, if I'm not able to do it, I know that I've done my best. But if I'm not able to get it, okay, I'm ready to accept the thing, then that anxiety will come down a little bit. Whatever coming.
So we do our best in the situation with the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and the principles we are aware of, and basically Krishna will hint us, right? You know, we cannot do so many, what to say, out of line things. We know, you know, we cannot, our consciousness will stop us from lying or, you know, doing politics and things. We can do all these things to get that. But we feel, I don't want to do that. So in a honest way, I will try to do my best. Within that, whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen. So if Krishna has to leave, you know, take me out of the job, maybe that's best for me. No, I don't need to worry about, you know, why already kids are grown up, why I have to keep earning so much, right? I can cut down, I can come down to a lower level, you know, so that I can have more time for Krishna. So if you do that, if you do that, then it's fine. Okay, now next phrase, Prabhupada is talking about a materialistic person, how he thinks in this situation. So we'll read that. No, I think we're not going to complete, looks like. Yeah.
Generally, a materialistic person becomes very happy when there is something for his sense gratification and his body, But when he sees that others have something for their sense gratification and he hasn't, he's sorry and envious.
Mm.
When he's expecting some retaliation from an enemy, he's in a state of fear. And when he cannot successfully execute something, he becomes rejected.
Yeah, this is the point we're discussing. Mm.
A devotee who is always transcendental to all these disturbances is very dear to Krishna.
Yeah, so basically, you know, he's nothing about material for him. If he has attachment for material things, then automatically envy will come. When somebody has it, I don't get it. Hankering and lamentation, all these things. But if you're always in Krishna conscious, you don't desire anything for yourself, then you can be free from all of this. You know, whatever comes, I'll just accept it. Yeah, it's a very, very high, you know, goals actually, you know. It's, we can see already where we are, like, you know, where we are and how much we have to make progress. So next, number 16. Anapeksha suchirdaksha udasino gato vyata sarvarambha parityagi yomad bhakta same priya. My devotee does not who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. So I will maybe paraphrase the points from the purport. So my devotee who doesn't depend on ordinary course of activities means the same thing. You know, money can be offered to devotee, but he doesn't struggle to acquire it. So ordinary activities means you work and you get the result, right? But he is basically completely dependent on Krishna. So whatever comes, like as I mentioned about Radhakrishna Prabhu, like whatever comes, he is going to accept. Then pure, about pure, Prabhupada talks about taking bath twice a day. You know, Brahm, especially, you know, as initiated devotees should at least take bath twice a day. Brahmana should take bath thrice a day, like that it's given. And rises early in the morning. So he's remaining pure inside and outside. Inside by chanting the holy name, outside by taking bath. And he's expert, Daksha. This is one of the qualities of pure devotees. He's expert in everything. So even regarding Prabhupada, actually, when Jiva Goswami is one of the Acharyas, right? When Jiva Goswami was writing, during that time, one Prabhuji was giving, Radhika Raman Prabhu was giving discourse about one of his Sandarbhas. He is a very scholarly person. He wrote so many books and all. And very, very highly scholarly books. Like ordinary persons like us, we cannot understand anymore actually those books. At that particular age, he is very well-known scholar actually. Very, very popular for that. So, in describing his life, he was explaining that he is actually expert in everything. He was an expert manager, he was expert teacher, expert, scholar, expert mentor, so many fields, actually he was expert. So then he was reflecting actually, if you think, if you see these fields are actually contradictory sometimes. If you are expert teacher, you cannot be expert manager sometimes. People who want to just teach and give education, they cannot manage projects. Like for example, you know, who wants to be professors, usually they cannot be businessmen. Something like that, you know. Not everybody can be all of this together. That's the point I was trying to say. So only Jiva Goswami was able to do. And he was reflecting and said, these days, modern days time, the person who exemplified these qualities is Srila Prabhupada. He was expert manager, he was expert in a scholar, he was expert teacher. Right, guide, mentor, everything. Right, because for some things you need patience. Right, for some things you need to be aggressive. Right, so that's why these qualities sometimes become opposite. But Prabhupada was able to do exactly what is needed. So that's why, you know, expert. So we can reflect on Prabhupada's qualities. And without cares, the second quality, without cares means does not involve in any party or politics. You know, that's the meaning. You know, if you can write based on the translation, without cares means he doesn't involve in. If there are two groups fighting, he doesn't want to involve in a particular party like that. Free from all pains, because he doesn't identify with the body. Whatever happens to the body, he doesn't feel the pain. And he's not striving for some result. You know, I want to achieve this, I want to achieve this. Whatever efforts are there, he wants to put it in serving to Krishna. So for example, we can read the last few lines in the purport. For example, constructing a big building.
For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations.
So you see the point? He just wants to serve Krishna, so he doesn't over endeavor for his own personal gratification. Okay. Text number 17. Yo na hrishyati na dveshti no so na sochati na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi bhakti mamyasa me priya. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and he renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. So these first two qualities we have read so many times, right? He neither rejoices nor grieves. Like for example, if he gets material promotion, extremely happy. If he gets demotion or same level, extremely sad. So he doesn't care all those things. He is just, okay, I did my best. Whatever rewards come, I'm just going to accept. Similarly, neither laments nor desires. Hankering and lamentation, he doesn't have. Okay, I want this, I want this, I want this. Once we get it, we lament. I lose it, I lose it, I lose it. That's what. The whole material life is about hankering and lamentation. And he renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things. That's a very good point. Let's read, he is transcendental in the face of all kinds of auspicious, inauspicious. So basically, it's not about something is good, materially auspicious, materially inauspicious. He's above that. Good karma, bad karma, we say, right? So he's doing akarma. He's doing service to Krishna. He's not doing good karma, he's not doing bad karma. That's why he's above this. So nothing is an impediment in discharge of his devotional service. Such a devotee is very dear to Krishna. Yeah, so that's the point, some of the points. Go to the next verse, text 2 verses 18 to 19. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha tata mana apamanayo shitoshna sukha dukkeshu sama sangha vivarjita tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yena kenachit aniketa stira matir bhakti mameyo priyanara. One who is equal to friends and enemies. See, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who does not care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Some of the qualities are repeating. So, Prabhupada clarifies why they are repeating. In the purport, we will read. And if you notice, all these dualities Krishna mentions all the time, heat, cold, happiness, distress. Because the very nature of material world, there is duality. In absolute world, there is no duality. Everything is for Krishna and it's all happiness. Krishna conscious happiness. But by the nature of see, they say, if you see, accept one side of the coin, then back side, there is other side of the coin. So if you accept material happiness and you are attached to it, just a matter of time, it's going to go away, or it's going to, because of your attachment, you're going to face distress, right? So we don't see that, right? But it's just misery, they say, it's just around the corner. That's the phrase they say. It's just around the corner. So you just have to wait enough, some more days, then you'll find some misery, some kid gets sick or something, job happens or something happens, just around the corner. We just have to wait. But if you just focus on service to Krishna, you can raise above all this. So what does it mean to raise above in these situations means, we have discussed several times, that our service to Krishna doesn't get affected. We face all this, our body faces heat and cold, everything, It doesn't mean in cold season we probably go with a half sleeves shirt to the temple or things like that. It doesn't mean like that, we do whatever is necessary to protect our body from the cold so that we can do service properly. But we are not overly disturbed, overly our mind doesn't get focused as to my feeder is not working, now what am I going to do, it's cold season is beginning, and so much anxiety thinking about it so much, it's not like that, right? So we are not overly anxious about situations based on how the dualities, even remember in first chapter only Krishna says second chapter, right? Matra sparshastu kaunte asitoshna sukaduka. Just tolerate this happiness and distress which come as summer and winter seasons. So as it changes, it all changes. Yeah. So let's read this last section of the purport. Other qualities, you can read the purport. Prabhupada is elaborating each of the qualities. Especially he talks about silent. So silent means what? How does a devotee remain silent?
It's monaprata, not talking anything which is not related to Krishna.
Yes.
Some essential talk you do, but not unnecessary.
Yes. So for us, silence means talk only about Krishna or talk things which are going to increase our devotion service to Krishna. Doesn't mean really, you know, shutting the mouth. So there was one incident where Mayavadi Sannyasi conference, you know, Mayavadi Sannyasi and Prabhupada was invited, and that Mayavadi was invited to speak. Then he said, his disciple said, he cannot speak, he is doing Maunavrata today. Then Prabhupada was invited, he said, okay, wow, very good, I am going to speak forever, you know, glorify Krishna, I don't mind. You know, so that's what is, we engage everything in Krishna service. So let's read last few lines. We may find some repetition.
We may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of the devotee. But this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee.
Haram bhaktasya kuto mahadguna.
One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them.
Okay, so this very crucial points Prabhupada is telling here is, without good qualifications, one cannot even be a pure devotee. So automatically, if you say somebody pure devotee, they should be manifesting all these qualities. Like remember in 4th chapter, Arjuna asked questions, how does he walk, how does he sit, right? So the qualities are mentioned there also. So he has to be manifesting this quality. He cannot be keeping secretly in the heart and everybody says he's a pure devotee and he's a pure devotee. Then without a devotee, one who is not a devotee has no good qualification. So the reverse. So we may see in workplace and things like that, right? Our manager, seemingly they are more of goodness. Or seemingly they are doing charity so much. Seemingly they are so good people. You know, they talk well and they eat only vegetarian. Whatever. We feel like they are very good people actually. Sometimes I feel they are better than devotees. Because devotees, you know, when you come closer, you start fighting and your offenses, everything will come out. But if we have faith in the Shastras, because their qualities are materially, their material qualities, right? So they are going to wear down. Just the situation changes, the things will come out. Anger rises. Things will arise. So it's just a moment of time, their qualities will change. It's not stable because it's not focused on spiritual, on Krishna. So I had this question many times actually, you know, when I was working. So I was not aware of many things. So when I encountered certain people, I used to discuss, oh, they are so good, they are so good. I felt, you know, many qualities I don't lack, which I don't have. Seemingly I am trying to be a devotee, but I don't have those qualities which they are manifesting. Oh, this person is so patient, so calm, like that, sometimes. But then Prabhu always used to tell, you know, but still, you know, they are not devotees. So eventually that will all wear off. It's not going to stay with them. So unless it's spiritual qualities or qualities which are decorated by the soul, it's not going to stay with us. Okay.
So it's the same thing for our test as well, right? If situation changes, if our behavior is changing,
exactly.
We are not on the
yes.
Path.
So we have not yet developed that quality really. Not the soul quality. We're just trying, we are on the path. Okay, next quality Prabhupada is saying is, these are all high qualifications, but we don't need to extraneously endeavor. Okay, now I'm going to have a roadmap from now on till 5 years, I'm going to work on humility. Okay, from here to 10 years, I'm going to work on gratitude. Of course, we have to practice it. You know, we have to, there are so many sessions, Rompad Maharaj, he gives even practical things to cultivate gratitude. He says at the end of the day, you write one page, whatever happened, how you are grateful to Krishna. Whatever situations happened, what you learned, and how we are grateful to Krishna. These are practical things we can definitely do, which will help us become more grateful. At the end of the day, it's not like life is going run, without knowing, you know, who is there, who is doing it, to whom I am grateful. Not like that, you know. Just reflect at some time, 5 minutes before going to sleep, reflect, write down, you know, what is the mercy, gifts I have received today, and thank Krishna for that. So those practical things we can do. But still, we don't extraneously endeavor. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to cultivate now. It's not like, our attitude is not, we are not the doership. It's because of the engagement in Krishna consciousness, automatically this will develop. Because Krishna decorates us with the qualities. So, our focus is in the sadhana bhakti. Okay, let me chant properly. Let me follow regulative principles. Let me associate with devotees properly. Let me not commit offenses and things like that. If you focus there, then automatically we see these qualities are coming up. Okay, so let's read the last verse. Yetu dharmamritam idam yatoktam paryupasate shraddhadana mat parama bhaktaste iti vame priya. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So here he says very, very dear. So far he says very dear, very dear. Now he says very, very dear. So very, very dear is persons who are making Krishna as their goal. So they are aspiring for pure devotional service. So those people who are practicing the principles so diligently and they want to become pure devotees and they want to attain Krishna, they are is very, very dear to Krishna. So, okay, let's read one section of the purport. The question of who is better, from 5-6 lines down.
The question of who is better, one who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman, or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was raised by Arjuna. And the Lord replied to him so explicitly that there is no doubt the devotional service to the Personality of Godhead is the best of all processes of spiritual realization.
Okay, that's the first section, right? Remember 12th chapter? Impersonalist, personalist, comparison, everything. Yeah.
In other words, in this chapter, it is decided that through good association, one develops attachment for pure devotional service and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master, and from him begins to hear and chant and observe the regulative principles of devotional service with faith, attachment and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord.
Okay, so this process Prabhupada is saying about the stages in bhakti, right? One starts with the faith, atho shraddha, then sadhu sangha, association, then anartha nivritti, bhajana kriya, then you follow the devotion service under the guidance of spiritual master, then anartha nivritti happens, then you know, gradually, then nishta, and then ruchi, attachment and devotion, prema. So he's talking about the ladder, you know, the phrase, different stages, yeah. This path
is recommended in this chapter. Therefore, there is no doubt that devotional service is the only absolute path for self-realization, for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
We can pause there, yeah. So basically it's very clear, devotional service is the only path.
The impersonal conception...
We can pause there, Mataji.
Huh?
We can stop there, wait.
Okay.
Yeah, next section, Prabhupada is going to say that impersonal conception also is good enough, but only when they don't have association of devotees. It helps in some amount of renunciation. Like, you know, if somebody is interested in cultivating jnana, because they don't have association of devotees, it's okay if they pursue the path of jnana. At least they are following transcendental goal. But if you have association of pure devotees, better take up the direct process. No, that's why he's putting everything in perspective. So let's read the last few lines.
Fortunately, if one develops directly a desire to engage in Krishna consciousness in pure devotional service, he does not need to undergo step-by-step improvements in spiritual realization. Devotional service, as described in the middle 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, is more congenial. One need not bother about materials to keep a body and soul together, because by the grace of the Lord, everything is carried out automatically.
Yeah.
Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of devotional service.
Okay. So if direct desire, if you have to engage in Krishna consciousness, then we don't need to undergo step by step, like, you know, the jnana, paramatma and indirect process. So this middle 6 chapters we discussed, right, are the mainly, you know, we talk about devotion service. The first 6 chapters talks about karma, jnana and bhakti and the overview and all the principles, things like that. Middle 6 chapters talks about devotion service. Last 6 chapters we'll talk about jnana in bhakti. In bhakti, how to cultivate knowledge and things like that. So much more, the cream is in the middle. The sandwich, right? The main part is in the middle like that. So I think by Krishna's mercy, we have completed this last middle 6 chapters. She'll thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of 12 chapters, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, matter of devotional service. Very bold.
Mataji,
so,
the one which you said is the ladder about which you start with
Shraddha.
Then?
Atu Shraddha, then... Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees, then Bhajana Kriya, process of devotional service, then you get Anartha Nivritti, then removal of obstacles within the heart. Basically, all your lust, greed, anger, everything starts going. That's the longest phrase, that's the phase most of us are practicing devotional service, but still, you know, we are working on our anarthas. Anartha nivritti, when all, most of the anarthas are removed, then you get firm, fixed nishta. You are fixed in devotional service. You know, nobody can disturb you, nobody can say, no, why are you worshipping Krishna, he is not God. You are fixed, nobody can disturb you. Nishta, then asakti, you get intense attachment for the Lord. Then ruchi, taste for serving the Lord. The holy name taste, right? That's going to come at that level. If you think, you know, I don't have taste for the holy name, it's going to come at that level. Ruchi, asakti, then bhava, the symptoms of ecstasy manifest like tears coming and then tears standing on the end, and it's a bhava. It's preliminary stage before prema. Then prema. So this is scientific stages actually it's given. It's bhakti is not, devotional service is not a sentiment. No, it's not like, oh, I'll do something and someday I'll get something. It's systematically, scientifically, it's given what are the stages one goes through, you know, and what are the symptoms of each stage, how does it manifest and how he helps other devotees when as a particular person is in that stage and things like that. And so based on these symptoms, you can identify where we are and we can also see in others and respect them accordingly, according to their advancement.
Okay.
Yeah, engage in devotional service under the guidance of spiritual master.
Asakti is attachment, like attachment to the holy name.
Attachment, attachment to the Lord basically. Attachment to the Lord and the process and things like that. Intense attachment. Intense.
Okay.
Any questions?
Yeah.
This very nice phrase in Bhagavatam is there, which covers this. We can search for or if you want, I can search and send a link on the WhatsApp. Yeah. Yeah, also. Yeah, it's there. If you just look at it, Ato Shraddha. Tata Sadhu Sangha, it's there. That whole Sanskrit and the purport and everything is there. Yeah.
So this basically comes under the Sadhana Bhakti.
Yes.
Where the initial stage,
yes,
of whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Anartha Nivritti. Then the rest is like the mode of transcendental mode.
Yeah.
So basically, the end of this stage is like we are on the final path of pure devotion.
Yes.
Pure love.
And prema. Prema, yeah. We come to the stage of prema. Okay, any questions or comments? So whoever wants to write 11th chapter exam, they can write this weekend, right? That's what usually we do. You are prepared, you already prepared, you wanted to write. Nobody? I gave hints long time back, right? Okay. Yeah, but if you are ready, you can write proper anytime. Weekend? Yeah. Come on. Okay. Jai. So we'll end here. All nourish Prabhupada.